Hi there, welcome along. It's the first sweet spot of 2022. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer wishing you a happy new year. If you're new to the sweet spot, here's what we do every week. We look ahead to week's tournaments and hopefully arm you with plenty of wisdom and winners. Don't forget, you can always get more information on the upcoming golf in the Racing Post every Wednesday and also at racingpost.com. This week, we've got the Century Tournament of Champions, some massive names. We will also look at longer across the horizon and try and mark your card for some value bets on the DP World Tour Championship and the US Money List. And Steve has got some fancies for the majors, which make up into a life-changing accumulator. So, plenty to get stuck into. First of all, Steve, I didn't wish you a happy new year. We did that beforehand and you bit my head off. We're way past the cutoff, aren't we?
We are, yeah. I think the cutoff has to be the 2nd of January. I've had people wishing me happy new year the last couple of days. I'm not having it. It's all over now. Yeah, let's concentrate on the months ahead.
Can I quickly ask you, just out of politeness and courtesy, how your Christmas was? Did you have a nice time?
Yeah.
I mean, 10.
I'd give it a 9, actually. It was a really strong Christmas. Yeah, I mean, we almost went into it with back-to-back winners, didn't we? Yeah, we tie up all the loose ends from the last podcast. We've had a month off, haven't we? Oliver Becker almost followed up Tristan the Piston Lawrence. So we almost had back-to-back winners. I was a bit cheesed off that Oliver Becker didn't win. But then Barry the Boiler Man, just to tie up the other loose end from last time. He was sensational. I mean, when he turned up, massive bushy beard, loads of tattoos. I thought, we're in trouble here. We're in trouble. But he was a genius. He got it sorted for Peanut. So, yeah, so Becker was a blow. Barry the Boiler Man was fantastic. And then the darts took over and I backed Peter Wright to win the darts. I had Peter Wright and Dimitri Vandenberg. Dimitri Vandenberg got knocked out early. Peter Wright won last night. So, I give it a 9 out of 10 for various reasons. Peter Wright being top of that list.
They're not really the most sort of traditional features of a great Christmas, are they? A boiler repairer and a darts tournament. But I suppose we can enjoy the Yuletide in various different ways. That darts was sensational, wasn't it? Because he looked like he was banging trouble, didn't he? Talking about people with lots of tattoos and a bushy beard. Smith looked like he had that by the scruff of the neck, didn't he? But to use the boiler analogy, he ran out of steam, didn't he?
He did, yeah. There was one point where I was fuming with Peter Wright when he went for an unnecessary bullseye. You know when they go for the bullseye and they don't need to, and then he lost that leg, and I was just thought, come on, you've all that experience and you've done that. And at that point, I thought he's not going to be able to get that out of his noggin, but he did get out of his noggin. He managed to forgive himself, and what a comeback!
His performance in those two sets, didn't it? To turn it from 5-4 to 6-5. I don't think he lost a leg, didn't he? And in about 9 minutes, he took out two sets. It was incredible, wasn't it?
Amazing temperament. Because, mentally, I'd gone at that point. I was thinking there's no recovering from that bullseye debacle. I thought mentally he'd gone. But, yeah, he just inner strength, fortitude, calmness. This is something we need to talk about. Perhaps we'll talk about New Year's resolutions later in the piece once we've covered all the golf. But, I think you've got to stay calm and you get results. And that's what Peter Wright did there. Didn't he? Stay calm, get results.
I got so lucky there. Rod Studd told me to back Wright in about August for one of the upcoming tournaments. I think it might have been the one in Blackpool, whatever it was. But anyway, I ended up by mistake backing him for the Worlds. He did win the tournament that Studd told me to back him for. So I was absolutely devastated. But
I see.
Got out of trouble there. So no, he helped you and he helped me. So that was good. Good old Peter Wright. He's the star of 2022.
Mistakes. You make too many mistakes like that. You've got to stay calm and concentrate. I've placed loads of bets. I've never placed the wrong one.
Really? Well, you still do it down the phone, don't you? It's the telly bet. What, so online, you've never ever backed the wrong phone?
No. Really? It's too important.
I suppose so. I know, I do make mistakes, but then I'm getting old, Steve. Honestly, when you get to my age, mate, you'll understand. Right then. Okay, let's look ahead to the Century Tournament of Champions. It takes place in Hawaii. It's the traditional curtain raiser, as one must call it. I think, Steve, to get into this, you just have to win a tournament last year, don't you?
Well, they fiddled with the format last year and let some people in who hadn't won a tournament just to build up the numbers because they were a bit worried about the numbers. But they're back to traditional one this year. The only controversial entrant is Xander Schauffele, who hasn't won a PGA Tour event since the old King died, but he did win an Olympic gold medal, so they've let him in.
Oh, blimey. Okay, well, look, as you will see when we look at the betting, there's loads and loads of big names here. These are just indicative prices. Shop around, as we always say on the show, for the best prices and the best each-way terms. Justin Thomas, 8-1. I was slightly surprised to see him at the head of affairs, but I'm sure that Steve will tell me why. John Rahm is 9s. Colin Morikawa, 11. Bryson DeChambeau 12, Schauffele 12, Cantlay 14. What a tournament. Hovland 14, Sam Burns 18, Spieth 20. So, I mean, it's probably one of the 10 best fields of the year, Steve, isn't it? This is an absolute cracker, isn't it?
Yeah, I was really excited when I saw the field. I mean, probably the best one we've had in many a moon, the best Kapalua gathering in a long while. Yeah, and we're at the Plantation course, which, yeah, we all know, like the back of our hand now. It's been there since 1999. You have 7,596 yards, par 73, wide open fairways. You could land a jumbo jet on some of these fairways. Massive greens, not much wind in the forecast. It's going to be extremely low scoring week, I believe.
So who does it help? Who does it suit? What kind of player?
I think scrambling is the key stat. Great scrambling around these enormous dance floors. And my two players this week, we've only got two players, are both fantastic scramblers.
Okay. When does it start? Because I'm looking on Bet365 and it says place your bets by Wednesday at 11 o'clock at night. That can't be right, can it? It's Thursday night, isn't it?
Thursday night. Yeah. That's an error. Yeah, surely that's an error.
You sure?
That's an error, unless I've made an enormous error. No, that's an error. The only difference with this tournament occasionally is they start it later to give people more time to enjoy their New Year's Eve. But no, this starts Thursday night. Yeah, Thursday night.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, and yeah. I also noticed, by the way, there's an advert for TalkSport on TalkSport 2 are doing live golf coverage. So if you can't watch it, if you're driving along at 3 a.m, you can listen to it live on TalkSport 2. That's quite a sort of random bit of coverage, isn't
that's
it?
That's remarkable, isn't it? I'll tell you what's also remarkable. We normally have to wait up until midnight to see a shot in this golf tournament. The Sky Sports website says they're going to start coverage at 8:15 p.m.
That might just go. They've started doing the featured groups, haven't they? So,
well, that'll do me. I mean, I used to break my heart getting all excited about the new season and having to wait up until midnight. If I'm going to watch action from 8 to 15, I'm cock a hoop.
That was something they were doing last year, though, wasn't it? They were starting off very early and, like I say, just doing those two featured groups. So perhaps that's what that is. You'll have to look into that, won't you?
I will. I'm going to look into everything this year.
Good man. Excellent. OK, so you go into the new year in fairly chipper form, don't you, Steve? I mean, last year there was a lot of toil, but it all came right in the end. And you've had the darts, Philip, as well. It feels like you've got a spring in your step and your peckers up.
Yeah, absolutely. If I had a tail, it would be up. I mean, yeah. Peter Wright's comeback last night has really raised, really erected my tail, shall we say.
Oh, brilliant. OK. I think you need to place your bets by 7:10 on Thursday. But anyway, you better get them on sooner the better. Right then. So you've only got two selections.
I've only got two selections.
Who's going to be the headline tip?
The headline selection is Patrick Cantlay at 14-1. I'm not going to be bullish about this tournament and say Patrick Cantlay is definitely going to win. You have to accept this tournament is tricky in many respects. We don't know exactly what the players have been up to over their Christmas holidays. You know, some might have been practicing very hard. Some might have been slumped in front of the TV with a million tubes of Pringles, like no doubt you were. I know I certainly was. But yeah, we can't be bullish, but we need to speculate and have a look at the prices as they are. And we also need to listen to all the pre-tournament interviews. I want to urge viewers here. Yeah, it's very early in the week still now. I want you to watch all of the interviews you can get your hands on YouTube, on pjtour.com, and find out what the players have been up to. I've done my best. I've been on the Twitters, I've been on the Instagrams, but a lot of them have been keeping their cards close to the chest. So you need to get them in front of the camera and listen to what they're saying. And health is another thing. You remember this tournament last year, Xander Schauffele turned up for this tournament well-fancied and then told everyone he just had COVID and he was recovering from that, and walking up the hills was knackering him out. So, yeah, we need to have our ears and eyes open at the start of the week. But all things considered, Patrick Cantlay is the best value option with all available evidence at the moment. He's had a long break. He's not competed since the Ryder Cup. He's had 3 months off. So we're taking it on trust that he's prepared properly for this. I suspect he will have done. Meticulous character, extremely driven. He's up to world number 4 now. So he must be sensing the chance to become world number 1 for the first time. That's a big deal for all these players. So I think he would have jetted over to Hawaii fairly early to prepare for this. He's got plenty of course experience. 15th on his debut in 2018, 4th on his return in 2020, 13th of 42 in that expanded field last year. I think it's a good assignment for him. Scrambling well is the key to success, as we're discussing. Getting up and down around these enormous dance floors. He was first for scrambling on the PGA Tour statistics last season. He broke records with his putting when winning the BMW Championship in August. 27 under par won that. I think you're going to need to get to a similar total for this. The FedEx Cup champion.
Does he seem like the sort of bloke who would have been out disco dancing much over Christmas? Or
it's a tricky balancing act, isn't it? When I'm assessing
this, he's so dull on the course, isn't he? There didn't seem to be much to him, but you never know, do you? He could be a real hellraiser off it.
Yeah, but I prefer the players who haven't got any children than the players that have got children. You know, do you know what I mean?
No,
the ones that have got children. Because, children, Christmas when you've got children is a very busy time, very exhausting. You know, you can't really devote time to practice. Yeah, the single fellas, or they may have had a couple of sherbets over the New Year's Eve, but yeah, they can just dictate their schedule themselves. They can be really selfish. So, Patrick Cantlay, kid-free zone. Yeah, I think he's going to be pumped for this. I think he's going to work his way into the tournament, shed any rust early on, and then he'll be fresh and hungry for the fight on Sunday.
Okay, where's DJ? Why is he not in it this week?
Not qualified. I mean, for the first time since the oldest of kings have died, he's not qualified.
What, King Richard? No, who was the first king? William.
Yeah,
William
King
the
William.
First.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
Died in about 1066, didn't he? Must have won one since then.
DJ wins every year, but last year he didn't. I mean, yeah, he loves coming over to this with Paulina and, and letting his hair down. So, I feel for him. Well, I don't feel
for him. Is that a New Year resolution? Just water rather than cola?
Oh, blimey. Yeah, I've got two quite big New Year's resolutions, and that is under the umbrella of one of them.
We'll find out more about that. Let's get your second selection first, though.
Yeah, we must press on. The second best and the only best and the next best, and I don't know what I'm saying, is Patrick Reed. 28-1, Patrick Reed. Can you believe that price?
Patrick, I can actually. I would have said he would have been about 33s myself.
I'm still reconstructing my jaw to get it back up. I couldn't believe that price. Another short game master. Few players in the world are more trustworthy around the greens than Patrick Reed. That skill has served him really well at Kapalua. He won the tournament in 2015. He was second in 2016. He was second in 2020. Reed loves this track. And like Cantlay, not the sort of character to rest on his laurels. He'd be pumped up. He'd be prepared. We were on him last year. You must remember this. I like testing your memory. We were on him for this last year. And he started really well. Then he got shin splints and blisters in his... Do you remember he's wearing those new shoes? No, is that not in there?
I don't tend to watch much of the Hawaiian stuff because it's on too late for me.
Yeah, but I know for a fact we were both... Yeah, you followed me on the Patrick Reed train and it started well.
Yeah, I'm sure I did, Steve, so much happened. Honestly, like I say, you get to 55, mate, you'll realise you just can't retain memory. It just floods out through your ears. All this stuff.
Okay, well, let me refresh you. He was wearing new shoes. His contract with Nike had ended and he was wearing these new shoes and they really did damage. Shin splints and blisters fell away over the weekend. So discount what happened last year.
You haven't seen a picture of him on Twitter, though, have you, on Christmas Day? Look at these beauties with a new pair of shoes coming out of the box. We don't want that, do we? We don't want a trusty old pair of his favourite ones.
I hope he's learned from his mistakes. Yeah, we all hope we can learn from our mistakes. If he's protected his little tootsies this year, then I think he's a surefire contender. I mean, remember, he had bilateral pneumonia in August, you know. So a lot of that form post-August, you can take with a pinch of salt, whatever that means. It took him a long time to recover from that. It essentially ruled him out of the Ryder Cup. But he got going again in the Bermuda Championship, finished second in the Bermuda Championship. And then his last appearance was third place in the Hero World Challenge, four rounds in the 60s. So Reed, fit, healthy, nice time off, comes back hungry, and of course he loves. I think 28-1 is just a stupid price, really.
Blimey. So your last two tournaments, you had a winner, then you almost had a winner, didn't you, before Christmas?
Oh.
If that second one had won, the headline could be, we're going for the hat trick, put your trust in Patrick.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. What a shame. That just makes me even sadder about Oliver Becker's demise. But I was at a children's party when Oliver Becker was there. Yeah, he went three shots clear, didn't he?
That's right. Yeah, I remember
playing with the children.
Is there any chance of some updates? Yeah.
And then,
did you pop out for a wee-wee, turn your telephone on and then see the bad news that he'd blown it?
Yeah, I was on the telephone a lot and then people were sending me pictures of... Van Tonder's at a 20-foot putt on the last hole and he's going to a playoff and then Van Tonder got a good read off his playing partner. Were you watching it?
I was. I do remember that.
Anyway, let's not break up old graves.
No, exactly. Let's look ahead. New year, new horizons, new dreams. Let's just have a quick spin through some of the market leaders, Stephen, and see what you think of all these guys. We'll start with Justin Thomas. Like I say, I was surprised to see him at the head of affairs because I thought he had a pretty duff year last year, didn't he?
I think he deserves favouritism, to be perfectly fair, given his course record. He's won two of the last five renewals. But I don't like him at the price. You're backing a bad putter at a short price there, aren't you? So I think he should be favourite, but I don't want to back him at that those odds.
What about BJR?
BJR, yes. Who knows what shape he's in? I mean, I'm taking a chance on Cantlay with this big break. I'm not prepared to do so at shorter odds on Rahm. First Christmas as a father. I think he would have gone all in on that. He's an emotional man, John Rahm. I think he's gone all in on first Christmas as a dad. And I don't think he would have practiced much.
Yeah, I thought he looked quite tubby towards the end of last year, didn't he? I think. Yeah.
Tubby and tired. Yeah. I mean, those two things can go together. I mean, he sort of faded, didn't he, after the Ryder Cup?
Is this Morikawa sort of course?
Morikawa's got Hawaiian ancestry. He played this course as a kid, and he's done all right there in a couple of spins there. But I'm backing scramblers. Yeah, Morikawa is not a scrambler. At that price, I can leave him alone.
He doesn't need to scramble. He just sticks those irons right by the pin, doesn't he?
That's a very good point. Yeah, no, I'm certainly not ruling him out. But I mean, what happened in the Hero? We didn't get a chance to discuss that, did we? I mean, five shots clear in the Hero.
Oh, yeah, incredible.
Unbelievable that he lost that and blew his chance of becoming world number one. He can become world number one again this week. So I think, sometimes
that was so unlike him, that wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, you almost have to put it down to the fact that he could have become world number one. I mean, that does get in players' heads. I mean, John Rahm blew his chances when he got close. It's a big deal, then, isn't it? Imagine waking up best player on the whole solar
system.
That'd
be amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah, that would be absolutely incredible. What about Big Bryson? Can he win?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's got room to fire those drives. Around the greens, he's not the best. He's a good putter, isn't he? Yeah, I mean, I'm not ruling out Bryson. I'm not going to be bullish about anything. I've got two value bets there, I think.
Okay, mate. Was there a third person almost snuck onto the staking plan or not?
Yeah, thought long and hard about Sung Jae-im. Very close to backing Sung Jae-im. Fifth on his Kapalua debut last year. But I know he went home to Korea for Christmas. I don't think that's ideal. I'm not sure when he got back.
That's the first time he's been home for donkey's years, isn't it? But he won't have been living it up. I mean, he leads a monastic lifestyle, doesn't he? Tournament to tournament, hotel to hotel. I mean, you don't need to worry about him having been on the sauce, do you?
I don't know. I saw him on Instagram posing next to a new car he's got. Maybe he's been doing too much driving and not enough driving, if you know what I mean.
I think you're overreading it. But he would have been the third person, would he?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay, should we move on to our long-term focus?
Yeah, we got a lot to get through, haven't we?
I suppose so. Right, first of all, we need to ascertain what the race to Dubai has become. It's the DP World Tour now, isn't it? And it's not the World Tour sponsored by DP. It's the tour, European Tour, sponsored by DP World, isn't it? I think it's important to make that point.
It is very important to make that point. I was having this discussion with a colleague the other day who fell into the trap of thinking that, this reflects the tour better now. They deliberately call it the World Tour because they go to South Africa and they go to Asia. And I said, stop there, mate, stop there. That's not what's happened. You know, it's just DP World is a Dubai business with loads of money and they want their name on it. So, unfortunately, bookmakers are struggling to make the change as well. If punters are looking back on play on the DP World Tour rankings, a lot of bookmakers are still calling it the Race to Dubai. I think about half the bookmakers are calling it the Race to Dubai. Half the bookmakers are calling it the DP World Tour rankings. So
it's the same thing, though, isn't
it? It's the same shooting match. It's just just semantics, isn't it? But
okay, well, I'll spin through the betting and you can tell me who you fancy. Rory McIlroy 7-2 fav. Big Johnny Rahm 4. Colin Morikawa 9-2. Hovland 9-1. Tyrrell Hatton 18s. Fitzpatrick 20. 22 Tommy Fleetwood, 25 Patrick Reed. I mean, last year it was won by a couple of Americans who just decided to pop over and mop up a couple of high-value tournaments, and that was it, wasn't it? What will it be, a same old story this year, do you think? Or do you think a sort of yeoman from the European Tour can win?
Well, when I've worked out what a yeoman is, I'll give
a
you the answer.
A yeoman is sort of like a kind of a loyal old soldier who turns up. You know, you think of the most common application of yeoman in sport is like a sort of medium fast county cricket bowler in his mid-30s, you know, he's always been there and he's just approaching his benefit here. That's a yeoman,
yeah, and Angus Fraser. Well, yeah, you're right. We've got to be careful with this market as well. I don't like myself today. I'm not being bullish enough, but we've got to take our bullishness out of this one as well, because
I like your bullishness. I think it's good.
Do you?
Yeah, because you've always been too bullish for my liking. So yeah. I like the fact that you're not too bullish. Yeah,
being castrated over Christmas. But the thing is, as you point out, these Americans come over and they win a big tournament. But yeah, they might not be in the market now. They might, the winner of this market might not be in the market right now. You know, you might get some American who plays well in the WGCs and the majors early in the year, and he gets into contention to win this, and then he goes, "Oh right, I quite fancy this. Oh, I'll go and join the European Tour. Yeah, here I am. Come and get me." You know, they're very loose membership rules the European Tour bigwigs have. You can understand it.
Yeah, because they're desperate for the big names to come and join, aren't they?
Exactly. So we've got to be very careful. But I think all things considered, Matthew Fitzpatrick, fits into the yeoman category. Yo boy, I suppose. He's too young.
Yeah, he's not quite old enough to be a yeoman yet, I don't think.
He's a solid yo boy. He's a proud Yorkshireman. So he loves coming over to his home circuit. I think he gets a bit homesick when he's in America all the time. He plays quite a lot of events.
Well, is it only people from Yorkshire are allowed to be proud of their county, by the way? Don't get me started on that. Are you a proud Dorsetman?
I'm a proud Dorsetshire man. Yeah. I'm proud of my county. It's beautiful. Yeah. But yeah, don't get me started on that either. We're getting started on a lot of things, aren't we? But I'll ignore his county. But Matthew Fitzpatrick played in 14 European Tour events last season. He won the Andalusia Masters at Valderrama in October. Yeah, the fact he turns up for little events like that says it all. His Race to Dubai form figures, rock solid. 12-6, 12-24, 5-2-4. So he's paid out for each way punters the last three seasons. This could be the year he actually wins it. I love the fact that the US Open is being played at Brookline this year. That's where Fitzpatrick won his US Amateur Championship in 2013. And I like the fact that Fitzpatrick has twice won the DP World Tour Championship, the season closer. So if he goes there with a chance, loves that track, we could be in business. So yeah, Fitzpatrick, all things considered, 25-1 a tip in the preview. I think 22-1 still available.
Okay. Is he your only tip for that?
No, I've got three in this.
Oh, go on, then quickly spin through the others for us.
Minwoo Lee at 45-1, still only 23 years of age, progressive Australian youngster. I still think there's bundles more to come from him. He finished sixth in the Race to Dubai last season, ended the year, crucially, 49th in the world ranking. So he's got access to all the big events, really versatile player, plays well on wide open tracks, long wide open tracks, plays well on short, tight tracks. Loads of moolah for Minwoo this year. And the final one.
I thought you said you had three in all.
Yeah, the final one, arguably the best player in the world. We all know the world ranking system is a little bit flawed. For some reason, he's not at the top. Certainly the tallest player in the world. Of course, I am talking about Thomas Peters. 150-1. I love giving it the big builder. 150-1. Remarkable price. His 30th birthday coming at the end of January. He's got used to being a father. Back to winning ways in Portugal Masters in November.
I don't remember that.
I see a class act. I see this class act making a fast start to the year, penetrating the top 50 of the world rankings. You want your bets in the top 50 of the world rankings, really. I don't think it'd be long before he penetrates the top 50 of the world rankings and then he'd bank a fortune from there.
Is that still your darts nickname, the Penetrator?
The Penetrator, yeah. Henry Hardwick, Henry Stiffcandle, as I call him. He gave me the Penetrator nickname. It's just stuck, yeah.
That's good.
Tough one to get on the back of your shirt. It's a long, long word.
You're not going to be tipping Peters all year, are you?
No, I play the cards as I see them. I have no, I'm not going to plan to tip him every week. But
This is a
class act with a settled family life who's ready for a massive year.
Okay, right then. Where are we going to now? The PGA US money list. Should we do that now? Rory's favourite for that as well. He's 11-2. Morikawa 11-2. Rahm 7. Thomas 8. Burns 14. Dustin Johnson 16. Bryson 16. Schauffele 16. Victor Hovland 16. 18-1 Matsuyama and 20-1 Barr. Is there much value in there, Steve?
I'm a bit more bullish about this one because you know, we know what we're dealing with. And Rory McIlroy, you can get 6-1. He's already banked the best part of $2 million for winning the CJ Cup in October. That's a great foundation.
Of course, we're not starting off on levels here, are we?
This is it. He's already fourth in the money list. I think he's a massive runner for all the majors. I particularly like him for the Open. We'll get onto that. He's cemented his backroom team. There's no more chopping and changing coming now. He's happy with his swing. I think there's great potential for McIlroy to win the money list for a third time this year.
That would be good. I hope he has a good year, don't you? I like old Rory. He's such a great guy, isn't he? And he doesn't take it so seriously, but there were times in the last couple of years, Steve, where it sort of looked like he'd almost accepted that his place at the very top table was never going to really be his again, wasn't it? He was saying stuff like, you know, I don't want to spend all the time on the range like the other guys do and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, maybe that relaxing has actually helped him.
Yeah, I mean, he likes enjoying life, doesn't he? He likes enjoying himself off the course. He's never going to be Tiger Woods, who's just entirely focused on that, you know, being a great golfer. But if you ask Rory McIlroy, who he thinks is the best golfer in the world, he's always consistent on that. He thinks he is. He thinks he's the best. He's never lost that belief he's the best. And I can understand that. Yeah, he's gifted.
And then, right, let's do the other three US money lists. Sorry, go on.
I've got the two big dangers to Rory McIlroy, and then I've got one massive price outsider. The two big dangers, Victor Hovland at 20-1. I think this could be a great year for European golf. I know they got spanked in the Ryder Cup, but I think McIlroy, Hovland and John Rahm could have massive seasons. Hovland clearly ready to win anything now. He won the Maya Cobra in November, but then he won the Hero World Challenge against an elite field just before Christmas. I think that's important. He's at the age of 24. I think major wins are coming for Hovland now. And the USPGA, which we'll get to, is a big opportunity for him in his adopted home state of Oklahoma. So McIlroy, Hovland, and then Xander Schauffele. Xander Schauffele at 18-1. He finished 12th on the PGA Tour money list last season without winning a tournament. He banked more than $5 million despite not lifting a trophy. So consistent. I think it's inevitably gets back to winning ways this year. Last year had plenty of positives despite the wind drought. He won the Olympic gold medal. He was superb on his Ryder Cup debut. I think he'll have a big 2022, and I think he might win the US Open. And then the final one, at 250-1, we'll have a dart at Ricky Fowler. Signs of life.
Yeah, at the end of last year.
Finished third in the CJ Cup. Only McIlroy and Morikawa could beat him there. I think it's possible we could have a comeback year from Fowler. I mean, last year I could have thrown in the name of Jordan Spieth, and you might have. Whatever you did there, did you laugh?
No, I didn't do it. No, I didn't do anything. No. You expected me to scoff at that.
Scoff.
Didn't you?
That's the word I was looking for. You.
No, yeah. I nodded in approval.
Oh, you nodded in approval.
Well, I don't care whether I approve of your tips or not.
I think there'll be some scoffers out there at Ricky Fowler tip, but Jordan Spieth had his comeback year last year. Ricky Fowler, his great mate, could have his comeback year this year. I mean, if he qualifies for the Open, look out, because Ricky Fowler loves St Andrews. He finished 14th in his debut there in the 2010 Open.
I mean, you can get this comeback, Steve, can't you? I remember many years ago, a long, long time ago, I had a bet with Jeremy Chapman that Westwood would not win another tournament in like the next 5 years or something. And for most of those 5 years, I was like counting my money. And then he suddenly won again. And then that sparked a revival, and he was contesting in majors and all sorts. So it is possible, isn't it, that, you know, these players who've got the class, they go off the boil, but they work hard. They leave no stone unturned in their attempts to get their game back. And if Fowler does that, then 250 is going to look ridiculously big, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. Yeah, human beings are just, yeah, they're cyclical characters. We have troughs, we have peaks. And your Westwood bet there. I remember having a little chat with one of Darren Clark's associates at Cheltenham Racecourse once. And he felt that Darren Clark's best days were behind him, and he wasn't going to win another tournament. I said, don't, not on your Nelly, mate, not on your Nelly. He'll win again, and he'll win something big. Before you know it, bingo, major champion.
Absolutely. Right then. OK, so let's get your thoughts on the four majors then, Steve, because as I was saying, a week ago in the paper, you did a thing looking ahead to the four majors, and you came up with a 70,000-1 fourfold. Now, I mean, what some people may want to have 50p each way on that, or you might even want to do a little lucky 15 or a Yankee. It's up to you. But you give us the four selections, and I think it's up to the listeners how they play them. We'll start with the Masters, which takes place, it starts on the 7th of April. Is he back at Augusta? Who's going to win that?
I find it very hard to disguise my excitement about this bet. You know, I know you've downplayed it there. You know, trying to, everyone's got to bet responsibly. I understand. But this is so exciting, and in a very small stake,
No, I did say that. I said 50p each way will win you 40 grand.
Exactly, and £10. £5.
Don't be ridiculous. No one should have £10 on a 70,000-1 shot. That's just ludicrous.
I misspoke.
The trouble with that, of course, now I've said that, Steve, is that if it does win, some bloke's going to have 50p on it and was going to have a tenner, and he's going to be coming after me for the 600 grand. So look, it's up to you. Do what you like. But anyway,
the first one is John Rahm for the Masters. John Rahm, he served his Augusta apprenticeship. Now, you have to serve your Augusta apprenticeship. You know, you don't win there on debut unless your name's Fuzzy Zeller a million years ago. Form figures there are 27, 4, 9, 7, 5. But he's had poor preparation a couple of years. Last year, he became a dad just before the event, if you remember. Is that still in there?
I do remember that. I also remember him having COVID about 9 times. That didn't help.
Yeah, that's right. So he got hardly any practice in at Augusta just before the Masters. This time, he'll be able to prepare properly there. And this time, it's his first Masters as a major champion. Yeah, he's going to arrive full of himself. I think the green jacket's going to John Rahm in April.
Okay. Do you know why Fuzzy Zeller was called Fuzzy?
I don't think I do.
His real name is Frank Urban Zeller, F-U-Z. So they called him Fuzzy. How about that?
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
It certainly is. We move on to what's next. Is it our Open?
No, it's our USPGA. Their USPGA Championship.
Oh, their USPGA Championship, which takes place. Yeah, it starts on the 27th of May, according to this. Yeah. Where is it, and who's going to win it?
We're at Southern Hills in Oklahoma. And Victor Hovland is going to win that. Yeah, it's funny I made that mistake. I'm glad I made that mistake. It wasn't deliberate, but I'm glad, because you can't have the same player in there twice. We must stress this. So if anyone
that's related contingencies.
Absolutely.
It?
So if someone doesn't want to.
Stupid. Of course it's not related contingencies. It's absolute. That's ridiculous. But, you know, that rules are rules. We have to abide by them.
Victor Hovland, former college star in Oklahoma, still lives in Oklahoma. So he's teeing up in his adopted home state. He'd be very, very comfortable on this track. He showed in the Hero before Christmas. He's ready to beat world class fields. Already got a solid major CV. Yeah, I think the pride of Norway makes his majors breakthrough at the USPGA.
Okay, we move on to the US Open, which takes place in the middle of June. Again, where did you say we're at? Brookline, Massachusetts, for that?
We very much are. Yeah, and we're very much looking forward to watching Xander Schauffele win that. I mean, in an ideal world, he gets off the mark in a regulation event. He's got plenty of time to do that. If he wins between now and June, Schauffele goes into that event as a massive run. He's got an amazing US Open record, 5-6-3-5-7. The tournament is ideal for him. He loves a grind. That the first three, Rahm, Hovland, Schauffele. Rahm 10-1. Hovland, there's a bit of 25s out there, but he's 22-1 with the firm I want to direct punters towards for the ACCA. So 10-1, 22-1, and then Schauffele's 18-1.
The only worry about the only trouble with this bet is if you do it each way, you get measly place terms, don't you? No one's really pushing the boat out early either. But anyway, let's not take the gloss off it. We move now on to St Andrews and the Open in the middle of July, where bringing home the bacon will be
Rory McIlroy will bring home the bacon. We know he can destroy St Andrews. One of the highlights of my life was watching him shoot 63 in the opening round of the 2010 Open. I had him to win a small fortune. Unfortunately, the following day, the Friday afternoon winds absolutely destroyed him. He ended the event in third place. He was a major maiden at the time, we must remember. He's a four-time major champion now. Didn't get to tee up in 2015 at St Andrews because he got injured playing football. Is that in your memory? He got injured playing football in the lead-up to St Andrews. Yeah, he was going to go there as the man to beat in 2015, messing about with his mates and injured himself. Couldn't play. Finally, in July, McIlroy, we get the chance to go back and lay the ghost to rest of the ghosts of 2010. And then we can all retire in August.
Have you done it for enough to retire?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that will be my coup de grace, if that makes sense.
What would you do, though?
Relax a bit more. Yeah. I need to take the foot off the gas a bit more. Yeah.
You said you've got 2 New Year's resolutions. Tell us all about them. One of which involves drinking less cola, I believe.
Well, the cola's gone under the umbrella of getting fit. Getting fit. I know we all make, it's so cliche. It's so cliche, isn't it? At this time of the year. I mean, have you joined a gym?
I don't need to. I'm fit. I ran. I ran 1,000 kilometres last year. Thank you. I don't need no gymnasium. I'm as fit as a fiddle, mate.
1,000 kilometres.
Yeah.
Well, talk me through that. How's that even possible?
Strava keeps logs how far you've run. And I noticed it pops up this thing saying this is your annual stats. And I noticed that in about the middle of December, I had about 25 kilometres left to do. On New Year's Eve, I played golf with a couple of great characters, including our friend Paul Keeley. And I noticed that I had a couple of beers afterwards. And I noticed I still had 5Ks to go. So about 6 o'clock on New Year's Eve, I had to drag myself out for 5Ks after a round of golf and a couple of pints. Oh, it was horrific. But anyway, I got it done. So no, I'm there. What are you going to do? How are you going to kickstart your fitness? Can I prescribe to you? You give me great tips. I'm going to give you a great tip. Download the Couch to 5K app, and that will get you going. You don't need a gym. Forget gyms. Get a nice pair of running shoes and get out on the road.
Yeah, okay. No. I'm not joining the gym. But the wife's doing that one you mentioned as well. So, we're going to try and get fit. I mean, I just worry that it's just the timing. Everyone seems to do it. And then by February, you're dipping pies into your brandy and you've forgotten all about it, ain't you? But I am determined to try and get fit, just to prolong life, really. I don't want a six pack. Yeah, it's, my daughter's always banging on about six packs, like they're important. Like, that's not a measure of a man, is it?
I hope she's six and she banging on about six packs.
It's all these characters on the telly, I guess. But she thinks that's the measure of fitness. I say the measure of fitness is doing what you're doing. How far you can run.
Of course it is.
I'm going to up my game on that. And the other one is just to stay calm. So get fit and stay calm. Because I find it so hard. I mean, the aforementioned wife, very unimpressed during the quarterfinal against Callum Ridsey. I mean, that was a really examination for Peter Wright. And when it levelled at 3-3, the crowd were really booing Peter Wright. And he managed to level at 3-3 heroically. And I just sort of blew my top with sort of raw aggression and an outpouring of expletives and I just really wanted Peter Wright to win that match, and they're bursting blood vessels, and I got a bit of a dressing down from the wife there. I mean, I did explain that darts is a bit different to other things. Darts is a sport full of aggression, isn't it? I mean, the players get very aggressive. I explained very aggressively that darts is a sport of aggression. So I think we can tuck that one away. Darts is a separate entity, but apart from watching darts, I'm going to stay calm.
Good, man. Good. Well, I think you should be able to watch darts and stay calm, Steve. It's a bit of fun, isn't it, really? There was a lot of booing, wasn't there, Ali Pally? There was too much booing, wasn't there? I didn't like that. I mean,
this is what I was saying to Nicola in my defence. You know, it was my moral compass that was...
Yeah, no, fair enough. You had the moral high ground, but you were just a bit too aggressive with how you used it, I think.
Well, she made the point that if I backed the other fella, Callum Ritson, I wouldn't have cared a jot. Which was probably true, but we live and learn. Yeah, but they're my two news resolutions.
I love it. I think that's the two very laudable ones. So good luck with that, mate. Excellent. Okay, well, let's do some recapping before we go, shall we? So we've got two selections for the Century Tournament of Champions, which starts on Thursday, and they are
Patrick Cantelay, Patrick Reed.
We've got three selections for the DP World Tour sort of money list, European money list thingy.
Yeah. Matty Fitzpatrick, Minwoo Lee, Thomas, world number one, Peters.
And we've got four for the US money list.
Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, Xander Schauffele, Ricky Fowler.
And finally, your four fancies for the majors this year.
John Rahm for the Masters, Victor Hovland for the USPGA, Xander Schauffele for the US Open, Rory McIlroy for the Open Championship, 72,109 to 1, I believe. Sorry, 72,104 to 1.
If they all win, my friend, as long as it starts with 72, I'm sure nobody will care what the rest of it is. It'll just blur and then they'll go off and drink champagne and lead a happy life. Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed for that. Steve, what have we got next week? We're still in Hawaii, presumably, aren't we?
We're still in Hawaii for the Sony Open. And then we may cover the Australian PGA Championship. I'd like to. I don't want to upset you. I know the Dunlop Phoenix didn't float your boat last time.
But that was just a poor field. This will be okay, this one. Well, we have like a people called Cam will be playing in it, won't they?
I believe Minwoo Lee is playing in it. I'd like to cover the Australian PGA Championship with permission.
In that case, we will, my friend. And no European action yet, no?
No, wait until Abu Dhabi.
Okay, brilliant. All right, Steve, well done. Thank you very much indeed. Are you kind of monastic for the next few days, running and not drinking alcohol and just staying calm and getting fit? Is that basically it?
Still waiting for the running shoes. Yeah. You mentioned the running shoes, didn't you? The wife's made a purchase on eBay. Very thrifty, my wife, very thrifty. So if when they come through, I'll get cracking, yeah.
Yeah, you do need proper running shoes. You can't just use I've got a friend, what those like sort of, what those shoes people use that aren't even trainers, I kind of think what they're called now. But anyway,
good looking shoes, isn't it? I mean, I've got my trainers are good looking, but
don't use a fashion trainer. Use a proper running shoe, yeah.
It's underrated, isn't it, footwear? I mean, I once went up Penny Fan. Penny Fan's a big mountain in Newport, Wales. Maybe not in Newport. No, it's in Wales. And I went up in my flip-flops and I had people coming down the mountain just basically saying you're going to die going up in there. Yes, it's a long story.
You went mountaineering flip-flops?
Yeah. And that I learned a valuable lesson that day that footwear is very important.
Yeah. Converse, that was what I was going to say. My mate Converse. Said, he goes, I've just taken up running. I said, what, have you got running shoes? He goes, well, I use Converse. I said, you might as well use your office shoes, your black office shoes. No.
He'll end up with shin splints and blisters, and he won't be able to win the Century Tournament of Champions.
Just like Patrick Reed. Lovely stuff. Thank you very much indeed, Steve. Great to be back on the show with you. See you next week. Thanks very much for watching. Happy New Year, and we'll see you next week for another Sweet Spot.